Well, I invite you to turn tonight to the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Someday I would love to preach through this book. I don't know how I would do it, but someday. We're going to look at Proverbs 3 tonight. Our text are verses 5 through 8. So I'll read 1 through 8 of Proverbs 3, found on page 627. This is the word of the Lord. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And there will end the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in the Lord, I want to spend some time with you tonight on this really beautiful text that really does help us, I believe, with the whole of the life that we lead in this life, the whole of what you might even say the Christian life, and the aim and goal of it. And it is a life of trusting God, trusting God. And I'm sure this is a favorite passage of many of you. It's a beautiful call here in wisdom to trust God. Trust God. I will be the first to admit tonight, I will be the first one to say that is one of the greatest challenges in all of life. I have a lot to talk about tonight on that point. We really are getting to the great truth that the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. And here the author, Solomon, as it's generally received, the sage and wisdom, is giving us all of this wisdom in this book about life. I just encourage you, if you want to grow in wisdom, James says if you lack, and if you're all wise tonight, then tell me about it. But if you lack wisdom, you should ask. And one of the ways that you can really advance in being wise in this life is simply to read the Proverbs and meditate on them, just a few of them every day. They are a mine so deep that you will not really plumb how much is there. But so important for us are these Proverbs, and the older I get, I realize how much wisdom they give us for every aspect of life. But here he is describing in chapter 3 the whole life of faith, and he's helping us to understand what that is. If you are like me, this is something that I don't do very well, and if you know Solomon, who wrote this, didn't do very well at this either at many points. His heart was turned away to the foreign gods of the many women that he had. And Solomon had a lot of problems because of this. But I wonder about, do we really think about the practice of faith? The practice of faith. If you are prone to anxiety, if you are prone to fear in this life, then this is really a great antidote tonight. And that is what is laid before us. The sage is giving us a beautiful moment of what the blessed life truly looks like. A blessed life in this life under the sun. And he describes many blessings that flow from this life that is described. So it's really beautiful tonight. He gives this emphasis here in the Proverbs, and particularly here this call tonight to trust God. And that's what I want to spend a few moments with you thinking about. You'll notice here that that's how this section begins. There's a call to trust God, and then he helps us with the practice of trusting God, and then the reward of trusting God. This passage is loaded with reward in this regard, so we're going to look at that for a minute. The writer begins with this splendid call for us to engage in one of the most difficult practices of life, and in wisdom. Wisdom calls out in the streets. Lady Wisdom. And then there's Lady Folly. There's two paths you can choose. And you can listen to Lady Wisdom. Wisdom is calling out to you from the streets to listen. There is a wise way. There is a right way. And then there's a way of total folly in this life. And you'll know this from the beginning, that the Proverbs begin with the great call to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the great call from the beginning of Proverbs 1. By chapter 3, Solomon is beginning to fill that out somewhat and help us understand what that fear of the Lord looks like in this life. And here we have it zeroed in on this great call to trust God. Trust Him. This is everywhere in the Bible. I could spend all night giving you verses about this. We'll have some. In fact, I think it was Dr. Godfrey who once said in his preaching advice, when all else fails and you don't know what to do and what to say in preaching, just tell people to trust and you'll never fail. He's smiling, so I got that right. Trust God. You never go wrong in telling God's people to trust God. Isaiah 26, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. When we talk of trust, we're speaking also of faith, aren't we? We say in the Heidelberg, faith is not just a knowledge of God's word as true, but it's also a deep-rooted assurance and confidence in the word of God. That trust aspect of true faith, resting and trusting. I think we often leave this discussion only in terms of justification. What I mean by that is we believe the gospel and God does something wonderful for us. God acquits us of all of our sins and He imputes to us a righteousness that we cannot attain. He gives us the righteousness of Christ so that we are counted as righteous and as if we had never sinned or been a sinner. And I think so often we're afraid that people will not understand that objective work of Christ and that our faith is merely an instrument to receive that blessing, the outstretched hand, the blessing of the merits of Christ. But I also want us to think about tonight, in light of this text, the scriptures also speak about a deep-rooted trust and a deep-rooted confidence in the whole practice of life. The whole practice of life. That is certainly what the writer is after here in Wisdom. When I first understood the gospel, if you could think about this, when you first understood the gospel, do you remember that? It was like a light bulb went on for me, and I remember sitting there, and I was mesmerized that for the first time I grasped this and was taken by the fact that God, apart from any works that I do, justifies me by grace through faith alone. And I was a free man. I really was. When I first grasped that from Romans 3:21, that was my verse. But now there's a righteousness apart from the law, the righteousness that is made available by faith. I walked out free. All the burden was taken off me. And it was a great time in life. It was a great initial conversion time in life. I felt very close to the Lord. And I was confident in that free gift. But I was not prepared for what I did not understand at that point was how hard life would be after that. From there on forward, I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't prepared for how difficult it would be. Even in that initial sense of joy and understanding the gospel. And years later, I can still say, I still don't think I've practiced this very well. Practice this in every aspect of life. I didn't understand how great the battle would be. And this initial call here, I think, is in wisdom. It's wisdom literature. So it's a different kind of literature, but it's an important literature capturing a truth for us. He is indeed after what we call fiducia. He's after true faith and heartfelt trust, but he's after that in everything. Everything. In wisdom literature, trust here is being used to describe a regard for God, a taking of God seriously, that he is so present with us, ever present by his power, as we say, and as we confess, that the whole of our lives we are to regard him as the source of our strength, the source of our power, and of all wisdom in life, of all help in life, so as to live believing and knowing that he is the one directing every step. That's quite a statement. Guiding life. And that the whole practice of faith, of trusting God, is to believe this so that we look to him in everything as our confidence. Everything. Everything. And Solomon here sees great blessing in this. It's a beautiful call here to trust in the Lord with your whole heart, with all your heart. What that means is with all conviction, all faculties, all of who you are, the heart, the center of everything of who you are, our whole conviction is that God is our God. He is our King. He is guiding us. He is keeping us. He is our strength. He is ever set before us. Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you, this is always, with my eye on you. Have you thought about that? God's eye is on you. With counsel, he's always guiding you. He's always keeping you. He's always upholding you. I will teach you, guide you, give you counsel, and your whole life my eyes on you. That's the last thing we think's happening. It's the last thing we think's happening. Think of how wonderful a call then is to trust this, to trust the Lord. And what might be the effects of that, a life of trust? In everything we have come to believe with a whole heart, God cares for us. He's directing our lives, and he never fails in that kind of covenant love to his people. This is a blessed life. Now, this may seem elementary, what I'm about to say, and I don't know why certain things stick with you. If something has sort of stuck with you the whole course of life, and maybe early on this happened to me, then I think, well, it was powerful enough to stick with me. Maybe it'll stick with you. This seems elementary, but I remember the story of a well-known pastor who traveled from Europe to preach in the United States. And for some reason, he was held up in travel, and it seemed like he would miss the event. All this travel, all this time, all this anticipation of this great event, and he was held up in travel, and everyone was panicked. None of it faced him. I remember hearing that story. I don't know, why does something like that stick with you? It just seems so little. None of it faced him. He did not break into worry. He did not break into panic. He calmly trusted that God would have him there if he will have him there, and if not, then it won't happen. Think of living life all of this way. Think of living life all of this way, with a whole heart, in the little things. Little things make way for the big things. Here the call to trust is met with a call to acknowledge him in all your ways. That's an invitation to an intimate knowledge and acquaintance of God. It's what you love from Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That acknowledgement there in Psalm 73 is one of deep reliance upon him. Acknowledgement of that in life. Constant acknowledgement of that kind of counsel and guidance that leads us to glory. A recognition of him, that he's the one in control, that the Lord is the one with power to keep, that the Lord is the one orchestrating the events of life. And notice this call is to live in constant acknowledgement of this. I think, you know, we are a people who are just, we're sheep, we're given to anxiety, we are given to fret, we are given to worry. And I think at the basic root of that is that we have lost sight of this basic truth that is here leveled before us. This is precisely why Jesus gave so much attention to this in the Gospels. And I always think how marvelous that our Lord, the King, would say these kinds of things to us. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life. And he gives the things that, at least in the first century, they would be deeply concerned about. How would they clothe themselves? How would they feed themselves? Look at the birds of the air. I feed them. Are you of not much more value than they? So stop worrying. Your Father knows what you need. But acknowledge him. Acknowledge him and his kingdom and his righteousness, and I will take care of all those burdens. That acknowledgement is what he is after, one of prayerful and constant recognition. There is a king over your life, and you are his subjects whom he loves. You are his people whom he has redeemed by the blood of Christ, and he constantly promises over and over to provide and care. Sometimes the best way to understand what trust is to appreciate what it's not. And that leads us to this practice of trust tonight. You'll notice this. Notice what he says. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The greatest threat to what I just described is something we do all the time. Sometimes even unconsciously. And it's why we become full of worry and fret. The greatest threat to what he's calling us to here, what do I mean by that? The greatest threat to the life of trust is to turn from his counsel and to seek counsel from within. To seek counsel from within in your own wisdom. One of the beautiful Psalms, Psalm 133, a short psalm. Listen to how simple this is about life. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child. My soul is within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. At that hope is that root there is to trust God. And people give their lives to things that are way too great for them. What Solomon is describing is something that truly calms and quiets the soul. Now, here's the reality, the hard reality of life. People don't hear this today. Dr. Clark said it on the AGR podcast the other day, so I'm going to quote it. Life is really hard, and then you die. That's the Calvinist take on life. Okay? Life is really hard, and then you die. That's perspective. The pathway of life is full of sorrow. It's full of sickness. It's full of temptation. It's full of worldly allurements. It's full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and we're constantly plagued with these things. At any moment, we are subject to some calamity and difficulty, and then death comes. And you know life can be going very well, and just something like this takes you away from any desire or remembrance of what it's like to trust God. We forget what it's all about. Remember, a few weeks ago, we considered Elijah when Jezebel came at him, and the one thing he did was forgot trust and ran the other way as far as he could into the mountains. When these things happen, here's the reality. We have no idea what's best for us. Isn't that the experience when they come, these things come? We find ourselves with little prayer. We do not trust. We turn inward. We try to solve everything in panic. We expend all of our efforts to change the situation. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know what's best. What was the very first thing Satan tempted Eve with in the garden? Do you remember? God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. How'd she take that? So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. There was the departure. There's the problem of humanity. We have sought our own wisdom to guide our lives apart from the will of God. Think of what we confess in Providence. What advantage, this is Lord's Day 10:28, what advantage is it to know? Think about this. To know that God has created and by his providence still does uphold all things. What advantage is that to you? Ponder the question. What advantage is it to know that? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all things which may hereafter befall us, we may place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love. Since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot move or be moved or such as move. That's how much he guides us. So notice then in the practice of trust, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. You don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. But notice what he says. Fear the Lord. And what does that look like? Turn away from evil. If you look back up at 3:1, Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. In general, what that is saying is, God has given to us a word. God has given to us a revelation. And in his word are fixed commandments that guide the whole of our lives and our conduct. I don't know if you saw this. I just saw this today, that in Newport Beach, of all places, Newport Beach, rich Newport Beach last night, it was a total chaotic mayhem. People running around looting and assaulting police officers. That's Lady Folly telling. That is the choice of folly, of wasting and destroying one's life. And what did it bring them? What did it accomplish? They chose evil, is what they chose. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What you will find in life is how easy it is when you are discouraged and stressed and depressed to go and sin. That's just the reality. The alcohol, spending, the drugs, the porn, the drifting, just name it. The life of trusting God, what a call it is. What a relief it is. Again, I'm not talking about justification here. I'm talking about the whole of life. There is a fixed rule of conduct that does not change. That's good. That's right for you. That's healthy in life. This is wisdom literature. Your law, O Lord, Psalm 119, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. At the heart of fearing God and trusting God is departing from sin and turning to his word and keeping what he has said. That's what the proverb is saying. Now, you may have sin in your life, we all do. But when it comes to the hardship that sin brings, the call here is when you acknowledge him and you live believing that he knows best for you and that he is the source of your wisdom and power to guide you and that he encourages us in the righteous pursuit that he's called us to, such a practice of trust by looking to him in this life, the Lord wants to encourage you tonight. His law is that lamp. There's great reward. There's great reward. The text is loaded with reward. This is, again, just wisdom literature. You can see this from experience. Notice what he says. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. He's speaking here of what? Prosperity. Hear me now. Pastor Gordon is a prosperity preacher. You're laughing. Not in what you think. Not in what the doctrine has become. Prosperity doctrine today is if you just have faith, you'll never get sick, you'll get really rich, those kind of things. Not what I'm saying. I'm talking about what the scriptures talk about as the prosperity of the righteous. The prosperity of the righteous. What do I mean by that? You know it. You know it. Psalm 25, his soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. This is the truth of the matter. No matter how much we are tried and afflicted, no matter how much life is difficult, we are a happy people. We are a happy people in the Lord. Look at the people who most trust God in life, who place their faith. Look at the people who give their lives to worship God and enjoy him forever as they were created to do. I'm not talking about perfect. They have a happy condition in this life, in their afflictions, in their hardships. I've seen this here, the kind of happiness that fills the people of the Lord who trust him. He indeed gives us health. He indeed gives us refreshment in the soul. He indeed gives us a peace the wicked do not know and do not have. You have no idea, and I have no idea, and completely take it for granted, what it is to live knowing the steadfast love of the Lord and the promises in Christ. What is it worth to us knowing that God has made us and has given us eternal life and given us the gift of his Son and that his love endures and rests upon us forever and that he has his favor resting upon us always and that he is guiding our lives and afterward will receive us to glory after death and that he's forgiven our sins and the promise of the glory to come. What's that worth? That's a peace you live with. That's a peace you enjoy. We enjoy this so much, we don't even know how hard it is for those who don't have it. Now, some will think I'm crazy saying that. The wicked prosper. No, they don't. No, they don't. The truth of the matter is that rejecting the Lord brings all kinds of miseries in life. That's the truth of the matter. It brings misery in this life and especially in the next. The wicked live a hard life. Those who turn from the Lord live a hard life. Living by your own understanding is a brutal path to follow. Even Job, in all of his afflictions, learned something Satan still couldn't prevail over him. Job, in his afflictions, still was a prosperous man. And God takes pleasure, as Job said, in him that fears him and abstains from evil. His eyes behold the children of men to test them. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And what does he do for them? His ears are open to their cries. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Notice the wisdom here. Turn from evil. Trust the Lord. What you see here and what the sage is recognizing as the great truth, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, those who trust the Lord, he's always directing their paths. He's always guiding them and keeping them in his counsel. He will, as a promise, make their paths straight. He will guide us and keep us. He is wonderful in making your path straight. It's a promise to you. That's a promise here, loaded with blessing of the Lord. I'm not saying we always feel it. I'm not saying that at times we don't feel the paths are crooked, or maybe we're discouraged, or maybe we're trying to live life on our own. I know we all try it. The call here today is trust God with your whole heart and life. Acknowledge him. Lean upon him. Rest in his commands and his word. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, Psalm 84. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. A life of trusting God is the best life to live. He will direct you. He will keep you. Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. This is everywhere. I could do this all night. Whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust you. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Psalm 56:3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, what is the life you want? The life of trusting God is the truly happy life, blessed life. The life of trusting God is the best place to be. And to not turn inward for your own counsel. The life of turning away from God is a hard life. It's a sad life. It's an unfulfilled life. And then you see all that he's done for you in Christ. When he sent his son, and he loved you so much that he took upon himself your sins. When you had rejected his fear and sought evil, that all that was laid on his back for you. And then he raises his arms and says, come to me. When you're anxious and burdened, I'll bear it. I'll care for you. Lo, I'm with you always. I will not cease to fulfill one. I will not fulfill and break one promise that I made. How good he is to us. What a blessing to hear this tonight. Trust me, says God. Trust me. Rest in my word. I have the good path for you. He will not fail to do anything that he has promised, that he has said in his word that he will do. After he has guided you through this life in his counsel, he will receive you to glory. That kind of love, that kind of grace, that kind of mercy demands a heart that trusts him. And what a joy to do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to this. And thank you for showing us the right way. We see the path of the wicked. It's hard, sad, a choice of sin and death that will follow. And yet with us, O Lord, even though life is hard and then we die, we have the promises. We have the care of the Lord. We have your fatherly love and benediction. We have your Son. And so tonight we look in true faith, receiving the righteousness of Christ, being justified by faith. Help us now, we pray, in the whole of life, more and more to trust you. Give us your Spirit that we might trust you. In Jesus' name.